Today's scripture comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
Compared to the last 7 weeks, this past week seemed like a vacation. Did it not, Dan and Deb and Leah and Adam? Yes, there were hospital calls to make, counseling people, meetings to attend, sermons to write, meeting with people. But after Lent, Holy Week, and Easter, as I shared with my pastoral relations on Thursday night, your staff was exhausted. Every single person on the staff and many members and Wolverton were worn out after Easter worship last Sunday. To be honest, we're sort of glad that Easter's over. Don't get me wrong, we love Lent and we love Easter Sunday, which is why we put so much time and energy into it. But it's real nice when it's over and we can get back into a normal routine again, back to the same old, sort of like in the Gospel of John. That's not our text for today. But the Gospel of John after the resurrection is great, or even the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of John, the disciples went right back to fishing. They had the big hoopla in the garden with the risen Christ, and then the next week, after the exhaustion of Holy Week, they went fishing. Gospel of Luke, a group of disciples decide to take a walk. I mean, it's good. When you're exhausted, go for a walk. And they walk to Emmaus. Gospel of Mark, though, may be the best. The women run from the tomb. They tell no one about their experience, so they don't have to do any work at all. Everybody goes back to doing whatever they were doing before this incredible encounter with this man named Jesus. This man named Jesus who was crucified and then in some way resurrected. Life just returns to normal in so many ways. Except in the Gospel of Matthew. The angel at the tomb told the women to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. And then the women ran into Jesus on the way to tell the disciples, you remember, a little unusual. And Jesus tells them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see him. The 11 disciples went, as we heard, and they saw Jesus. And this is where there should be a party, right? Lots of laughter and joy, because the one once thought to be dead is now alive. But Jesus seems to have something else in mind, as I believe he has in the whole Gospel of Matthew. Resurrection is not the end of the story for Jesus. It isn't even a time to catch a breath, no pun intended. It is almost like resurrection is just another opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples. Jesus stands before the disciples, tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this one who was born to be called Emmanuel, God is with us, tells his disciples to remember, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus has been raised. And what is it that he wants us to know? He wants us to make disciples of all nations and to bring them into community with the sign of baptism and to teach them everything that he has taught us. Make disciples of all nations. These verses have been used throughout generations in ways that have been very harmful. "Go into all nations" may have been the rallying cry for the Crusades, which was not a great moment in our history as Christians. But the Bible says for us to go into all nations and make disciples. Well, yes. But the words here mean for those of us who follow Jesus to make disciples of all people, not countries. And this understanding that we make people be disciples of Jesus, that wasn't quite what Jesus meant here either. As we all know, make can mean that we demand or force someone to do something. Again, think crusades. Make can also mean that we create, that by our actions, by the way we live our lives, we create an atmosphere that people want to know more about this one whom we call Christ. We show the love of God we know through Christ freely and sincerely, which compels people to want to know more. Even though we're really tired from the whole Lent time, Holy Week, and yelling, he is risen indeed, on Easter, Jesus comes to us and says, go therefore and show the world the love of God that I have shown you. Go therefore and live in such a way that all peoples want to know of the grace, love, and mercy that we have claimed, and make it official. Don't just give it lip service. Don't just tell people they are loved. Invite them to jump into the life-giving baptismal waters so that they may know they are truly part of the community, the body of Christ. Well, we did have our Easter afternoon nap, so on the Monday after Easter, we're able to go to work, visit our neighbors, talk to strangers, and be grace-filled and invite them to church, or answer their questions about Easter and what does it mean to go to church. Jesus, we can do this. We've got it. Our baptistry here at church is always at the ready, so we are good to go. We may have been exhausted when we saw you on the mountain in Galilee, but we will keep on keeping on, and we will show your love to everyone, to all people. And we will baptize in rivers, oceans, ponds, baptistries, wherever we can find enough water, we will do it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's always easy to show God's love to everyone. But even the disciples wavered or doubted, right? Back in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, which here means kind of a wavering we do when it appears that maybe more than one possibility could be right. As my New Testament professor, Dr. Eugene Boring, says, it is not to angels or perfect believers, but to the worshiping, wavering community of disciples to whom the world mission is entrusted. So sometimes we waver when we realize that life is filled with an abundance of gray areas that we must navigate. But we can do it, Jesus. We've had our Easter nap. We got back to a normal routine during this week. We are ready to show your love. We're going to try to view the world through the gray areas instead of the I'm right and you're wrong areas. All right, it's a little tougher than it first sounded, but we can do this. I mean, I know we can. If we don't read any further in the text. We are good with showing people the love of God that we know through Jesus Christ, and who doesn't love a good baptism? I believe that we as a congregation actually do really well in the gray areas, so why do we need to read further? Love baptisms? I'm good with stopping right here. Except Jesus isn't. When we go, therefore, and make disciples, we are also supposed to teach people to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us, everything that Jesus has taught us. On the surface, that doesn't look so bad, does it? We have Sunday school and Bible study. Sometimes we actually listen to the sermons. So we know things. We know a lot, or some, or a couple of things that fit what we want to know about what Jesus taught. To teach, though, means we must know what it is that Jesus taught and commanded. For Jesus has given the disciples, the church, the responsibility to teach all that Jesus taught. Jesus has entrusted that when we go, therefore, and make disciples of all people, that we will be teaching them what Jesus taught. You know those parables we did every week during Lent? Yeah. Jesus was teaching us something when he shared those parables. Remember the Sermon on the Mount. It goes on for chapters. And it has things like, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. Let your light shine so that others may see the glory of God. And then there are all of those, you have heard it said, but I say to you, do not murder. But I say if you are angry, you are just as liable. You have heard an eye for an eye, but I tell you, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone wants to sue you and take your coat, let that person have your cloak as well. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Forgive others just as God has forgiven you. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Don't worry. First, strive for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. And Jesus also taught by his actions, not just with his words. Jesus touched the unclean and welcomed them into the community. Jesus healed people who were not from around here, not one of us. Jesus healed people who were outcasts. Jesus welcomed all. Of course, he did have an issue with those who kept other people from knowing of the love of God. And Jesus didn't hang out with the in crowd. One of his disciples was a tax collector, Matthew. And Jesus would eat with sinners. Jesus and his disciples worked on the Sabbath. They broke traditional laws in a variety of ways, and Jesus offered life to those who were dead. We know from the parables that Jesus expected his disciples to share the love of God with all. We know that the banquet is set for those who will come, and we know that there's something to do with sheep and goats, and we really hope we're a sheep. I so wish that I could say that Jesus did not expect this of those who proclaim his name. But I believe that he did and that he does. We are to teach what Jesus has taught us. We are to embody all that we have learned. It would be so much easier if Jesus had just let us stop at the baptisms. Teaching means we come face to face on a daily basis with what we know of the love of God and how we really live our lives. We have experienced the incredible love of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've seen that God will do whatever it takes to be in community with us. God will even defy the laws of nature to help us to see the love, grace, and mercy that is offered to everyone, to all people. And all that the risen Christ asks from us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew is that we go, therefore, and live lives that create an ever-growing community of disciples, and that we welcome all through the baptismal waters, and that we never stop teaching all that Jesus commanded, that we never stop living out what Jesus taught us. And thank God that Jesus is always with us. For there is no way the worshiping, wavering community called the body of Christ can love as Christ has loved, can love as God has loved us, without the presence of the Christ and the living God cheering us on. Easter Sunday has come and gone. It took so much work. But Jesus stands before us now and says, go therefore and make disciples. Baptize and teach. We can do it, Jesus. Maybe not every day. But with your presence, we can do it. Amen.